Welcome, listeners, shareholders, and investors of Knight Food Holdings, Inc., ticker symbol NGTF, traded on the OTCQB. We thank you for joining us on this call today, this investor conference call, where the company will be talking about its recent activities, including some big news, and we're going to talk about that announcement at the outset. But before we get started, I'd like to give you the forward-looking statements. Now, the entire forward-looking statement can be found in any press release for the company or their filings with the SEC. All you need is that ticker symbol again, OTCQB and GTF. This call may contain forward-looking statements as that term is defined in Section 27A of the United States Securities Act of 1933 and Section 21E of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. Statements covered in this call, which are not purely historical, are forward-looking statements and include any statements regarding beliefs, plans, expectations, or intentions regarding the future, including but not limited to any products sold or cash flow from operations. And again, the entire forward-looking statement can be found in those filings with the Securities Exchange Commission. But without further ado, let's welcome the CEO of the company back, Sean Folkes. And Sean, how are you today?
Great, Stuart. Happy to be here as always.
Well, happy to have you here. And today's a little different. Today, you've got a big announcement that we want to discuss as well. Can we get the highlights straight from you as the CEO before we jump into the rest of the call?
Sure, absolutely. You know, before I forget, I do want to be sure up front to thank the entire Knight Food team, not only the members internally, Jenny Mitchell, our COO, and Jim Christensen, VP of ice cream sales, but really all of our vendors, manufacturing partners, brokers, and salespeople. They've been working so hard during what's really been a very busy time for us, especially over the last couple of weeks, helping us get set up for a great 2021. So, you know, obviously there's been a lot of news since our last call. We've unveiled our new packaging. We've secured and announced distribution with UNFI, which is, you know, the largest distributor of natural foods in the U.S. We've landed some additional independent supermarkets and planning for a second year in our, you know, major existing retailers. And of course, last week we had a big announcement, which was that Knight Food is rolling into Walmart starting in April. And, you know, I mentioned something last week in the Telegram group, and anybody who's not, who doesn't participate in that, they can get the link, I guess, from any of our news releases and join that group. I'm pretty active in there. But I mentioned last week that, you know, the investors typically only get to see events unfold months after they happen. You know, these public announcements, Walmart's a great example. You know, we knew about Walmart really since the summer of last year, but it got to a 99% confidence level in October. And yet here we are not being able to announce it until the end of February. So, you know, that's just the way things go. But we've got an announcement here that we're able to make. It's a little closer to real time. And this is news. There's going to be a release going out in the morning before the market, but I wanted to make sure to announce it here on our investor call first. And that news is that we've successfully secured a retail test with one of the world's largest hotel companies. So one of the largest global hotel companies, they're testing Knight Food in their lobby shops, you know, the stores where they sell all the snacks and the drinks and the ice cream. And the test is with the goal of national rollout if the test is successful. Now, just about every hotel these days has a little shop in the lobby. Most of them sell ice cream. And, you know, we had been making hotels, Stuart, I'm sure you remember, I know talked about it on previous calls. It was a major push for us pre-COVID. And, you know, of course, everything kind of froze there for a while. The hospitality industry and travel industry in particular got hit pretty hard. And, you know, things are kind of returning back to a normalcy, I guess. And I'm really excited today to announce that, you know, we're already being sold in a handful of lobby shops in one of the, you know, world's largest hotel chains. It's a corporate level test. I want to point that out. So, you know, our previous hotel distribution was all done at the operator level. It was the independent local operator deciding to put Knight Food in their freezers. But this is a corporate level test. And so what that means is we're in touch directly with headquarters. They are the ones making this decision to test Knight Food. If they like the way the test goes, they can trigger, you know, distribution nationally, coast to coast, in not just the banner that it's testing in, but theoretically in all of their banners. And that's all done from a single point of contact. And so we've been told that if the test is successful, the likelihood is that we would be quickly rolled into all their locations and all the banners. And, you know, look, the hotel environment, we've sold a little bit in the hotel environment. The product has sold well in the past. You know, that coupled with the new packaging, which I think is really going to work well in the hotel environment, I'm expecting a successful test. So again, this is news that's going to be out in the morning, but I wanted to make sure to announce it here on our quarterly investor call before the news crosses in the morning.
Well, very good. Exciting times. And thank you very much for sharing that with us, Sean. Keep an eye out for that, listeners and investors, of course, using that ticker symbol again, NGTF. It'll hit the press wire tomorrow, as you just heard from Sean. Sean, now let's get your comments regarding the 10Q for the company.
Sure. So I wanted to walk through a couple of things here about the most recent quarterly filings, walk through some of the numbers. So for the 6 months ended 12/31, which is the first two quarters of our fiscal year, which is a June 30th fiscal year, for those 6 months, our gross sales were up 20% year over year, and net revenue was up 62%. So gross sales through the first 6 months were about $460,000 on just over 146,000 pints, with net revenue of $174,000. And we announced on a recent investor presentation at the Emerging Growth Conference that we think we have a good shot, and we're anticipating breaking $1 million in gross sales for this fiscal year that ends June 30th. Now, of course, we can't really talk about revenue without talking about slotting. As of December 31st, which again is halfway through our fiscal year, we had slotting of $183,591 for the fiscal year to date, which was down quite a bit from the previous year where we had about $270,000 in the first 6 months of slotting. So looking forward for the balance of fiscal 2021, so between January 1st and June 30th of this year, we don't expect a whole lot of additional slotting to hit the books. In our filing, we mentioned that we expect slotting for this fiscal year to come in under $250,000 total, whereas last year it was over just over $540,000. And again, this current year, while we said we expected to be under 250, it could be closer to 230 or even a little bit below that. So very little slotting expense here this quarter and next. Remember, for anybody who's not familiar, slotting is when a retailer or a distributor charges fees to a manufacturer for placement in their stores or placement in their warehouses. Sometimes it's in the form of upfront cash. Sometimes it's in the form of deductions from invoices or just free fills of products in for the stores. And again, so we have very little of that going on currently. It's not a good thing or a bad thing necessarily. I just want to make sure everybody is aware. It's a cost of doing business. You know, there's certainly regional and national accounts that we are targeting where slotting expenses will be significant. And, you know, depending on when we land those accounts, you know, we should expect to see slotting go up again, likely in fiscal 2022. It's just a cost of doing business. Wanted to be sure to touch on that for everybody. Another note here, we scaled back last quarter on our advertising and promotional activity as we were targeting a production date for our new product in late January. But we knew that there might be some variance in that. So we scaled back on advertising and promotion last quarter because we wanted to use up all the old inventory that we have, but not run out and be caught in an out-of-stock situation. So the result of that plus the natural seasonality that comes in the ice cream business was a lower quarter in terms of gross sales and net revenues. We sold approximately 46,000 pints in the quarter for gross sales of approximately $143,000 and then net revenue of approximately $47,000. And it looks like we did a pretty good job on our timing. We only had one flavor go out of stock. That was Cookies and Dreams, and that was for less than a week. And that back order PO was already filled last week. So we're still in a tight inventory position with regard to the new product in the new packaging. And as a result, we haven't yet turned back up our promotional activity to anywhere near where it will be in the spring. You know, there are out there some in-store price promotions that are currently running. A lot of times those are things you have to commit to, you know, several quarters in advance. And it's our goal to only ship new product to any of our accounts from this point forward. That is the new product and the new packaging. For e-commerce, we will still be using the old packaging and the old product until we're through this squeeze on inventory. With Walmart, there's no mention of Walmart in the queue because that distribution was announced after, but they did catch us a bit off guard with regard to the quantities it looks like they're going to be needing from us. And that's why we're continuing to hedge on inventory until we have 100% visibility on that and we're able to get enough new product manufactured. In some flavors, it's going to be tight for really the next month or two. We've already scheduled production for March and production for April has also been scheduled. And now we're looking at our demands for May. So that covers the big hotel announcement and you know, the financial items that I wanted to touch on from the queue. So with that, Stuart, let's open it up to some questions.
Well, very good. Great questions. Once again, your investors always do a great job with that. And first, we're going to start with Adam. And his question is, how many Walmart stores are you going into? Is this like a small regional test or a national rollout?
So we still haven't received the final store list, but the scope of this launch is definitely not what I think anybody would ever classify as a regional test. You know, in this business, I mean, everybody's always testing and learning together with our retail partners. That's just the nature of things. And so there is always testing going on, but this is a full-on launch. We're rolling into a significant number of stores, a significant number of regions. Look, Walmart has 4,800 stores. We're not going into all those stores. I don't know, you know, how frequently they ever do that, but we're going into a significant number and not what I or I think anybody else would ever term to be a test.
All right, very good. Let's move on to another question. This one is from Joe, and he wants to know the timeline for profitability, and he also wants an update about non-dairy.
Sure. So in our financial modeling, you know, the profitability timelines vary. The big factors are obviously, you know, points of distribution, you know, unit economics, and of course, unit velocity, which is how fast are the pints selling off the shelves. And you know, we've modeled many different scenarios based on these variables, as well as, you know, a big variable is, you know, the hotel test, you know, if it tests well, you know, does the chain put us in one banner? Does it put us in two banners? Does it put us in all their banners? And when that would happen? And then what are the velocities and the unit economics of that environment? So there's a lot of variables in the modeling. There's certain scenarios we've modeled that have us profitable in a 12-month or less than 12-month time frame. There's others that have it, you know, more like a 24-month time frame. And with regard to non-dairy, I get asked this a lot, and I totally understand it. It's something we definitely want to do when the time is right. I know dairy-free is it's a hot growth segment, and everybody's talking about it. But remember, it's really, really, really small as a percentage of the total ice cream market. You know, depending on the statistics you see, it's going to show up as less than 10%, and in most cases, under 5% of the total ice cream market. So it's growing very fast as a subcategory. It's already to some extent overcrowded, and there's going to be some shakeout. We want to dominate sleep-friendly nutrition. We're not looking to start to niche off of sleep-friendly nutrition at this moment. I do definitely think that we will launch plant-based as an extension at some point in the coming years. And I anticipate it would most likely, if you look at like the way Ben and Jerry's or Halo Top have done it, it's an addition, it's an extension on their line. I think that's more of the model that we would follow, not as a key focus like a So Delicious or an Oatly brand where all of our offerings are non-dairy. We had non-dairy stuff and have non-dairy stuff in development. The samples were amazing. I didn't think that non-dairy ice cream, especially in a better for you format, could be so good. We'll bring it to market when the time is right. And remember, even with the massive growth projections and the accelerating growth that's going on right now, most experts, plant-based does not project to be even 10% of the total ice cream market until probably 2025 to 2028, depending on the projections that you see. So it's growing fast, but it's still really, really tiny.
All right. Thank you for that, Sean. Susan would like to have you provide an update on MJ Munchies and the CBD/marijuana side of edibles.
Sure. So the FDA has taken longer than most people expected on the CBD side of things, you know, regarding companies and brands being able to use CBD as a food additive. I think a lot of people might not be aware that, you know, as of this time, using CBD in a conventional food or snack product, it's still specifically prohibited by the FDA, and they've gone out of their way a couple of times in the last 15 months to make a point of that. You know, as long as it's prohibited, we're not looking to bring any products to market in that space. We don't want to introduce any unnecessary risk into our operation. We've got too much going on. You know, we're rolling into Walmart. We're hopefully going to be rolling into thousands of hotels here. You know, we're not looking to muddy the waters here. There are opportunities that are legal immediately, either in the hemp space or THC infused edibles in certain states where, you know, those are specifically legal. You know, we're always evaluating the evolving situation. We're in talks on and off with potential partners. And I do think something's going to happen on that front, but I don't have a timeline to share at this moment for anybody.
All right, very good. The next question comes from Harold, and he says, now that we're in Walmart, will it be possible for us to uplist to the NASDAQ?
Well, it's certainly going to help. I mean, look, we're exploring the path to an uplist. It's a process. It's something that's always been on our roadmap. And certainly, as we do expect substantial growth coming up, and as we work towards that growth and towards profitability, uplisting remains a goal for us. There's many advantages to being on a major exchange. And in the background, we're constantly working to position ourselves to meet those criteria. And hopefully that's something we'll be able to accomplish here in the short-term future for everybody.
All right, very good. Bill wants to know, why do all social media accounts have the old packaging still? When will it switch over? And more important, when will the new packaging be on the shelf?
Yeah, definitely. The second part is the more important part. I think earlier today we switched over on the social media accounts to the new packaging. You know, the first production run with the new packaging was just completed and started to ship out to retailers last week. And we made the decision not to switch the social media, I guess, graphics and icons to the new branding too early, because that's what we were advised by our social media team, Circle Media, because that's not what is on shelf yet. And we certainly didn't want to, you know, put that up before we were even shipping. You know, it could be weeks, even though we shipped to an account last week, it could still be weeks. It could be a month, month and a half for certain flavors before the new packaging hits the shelves, because the retailers already have inventory. So we didn't want to make that change too early. But you should start seeing the new pints on shelf really this month for certain flavors and certain retailers. And again, I think I mentioned earlier, we are working to not have to ship any more of the old packaging out. We need to make sure to have new packaging for Walmart. We need to have new packaging for the hotels. Again, we're going to need a little bit more product, or maybe a lot more product for Walmart than we originally thought. And the most important thing is to get the new packaging on shelves. So anybody who's ordering online with e-commerce, I know that's one of our goals, is to get the new product. We've added some, we've made some tweaks to the formulation to make the product ship better, stand up to the dry ice better. But those e-commerce people may have to wait, as the most important situation is our retail, you know, supermarkets, Walmart, and hotels.
All right, very good, Sean. This is our last question. It comes from Kyle, and he's quoting you. He says, Sean has referred to 2021 as a transformative year. Can you get into more detail about what you expect from 2021, Sean?
Yeah, I use the word transformative because, you know, I feel like there's two kinds of growth. One is the incremental growth, which is what we've seen. You know, sales numbers are growing, more stores, more doors, more revenues, things like that. And that's doing the same things, doing them better, right? A little better and a little better. And then there's bigger changes that can happen. And these changes, these bigger ones, are not really incremental, but you know, what I would call transformative. And it puts the company on a whole different path and in a different position going forward, and really kind of change the stage that the company's in. And look, I made that statement before the Walmart announcement, but obviously long after I knew Walmart was coming. Landing an account like Walmart, you know, that gives you an instant retail footprint from coast to coast, developing a secondary vertical like hotels that could facilitate, you know, rapid distribution into thousands of non-traditional outlets, potential partnerships with global CPG companies. These are the kinds of transformational events, you know, some of which have already been secured, obviously, and some of which, you know, are at various stages of conversations. And, you know, these are the kind of things that really change how a company is viewed, change our access to capital, changes our ability to project the future and path to profitability. You know, another example operationally would be from, you know, being a product that has a pretty good sales velocity and improving that a little bit compared to having a product that starts to fly off the shelves to the point where, you know, retailers can't keep it on shelf anymore, which, you know, is something that happened with Halo Top a few years ago with their packaging redesign, because that changes the whole conversation with the category managers of the other supermarkets that we're not in. So these are the kinds of opportunities we have this year. I know I named a few of them. I'm guessing there's one or two that I'm forgetting, but I believe we're going to see some of these things and on top of Walmart, which has already been secured, that come to fruition here in 2021. And then you go from being an upstart that's just grinding it out, trying to find your place in the world, and you transform into a company that's earned a spot at the table, that demands a place on shelves, you know, in the hotels, in the supermarkets, in the freezers at home. And again, the future at that point becomes more clear. And it really changes the way everybody looks at you. So we've got a big year ahead in my eyes. Hopefully everybody out there can understand and share my excitement over what's to come here in 2021.
Well, Sean, as I said at the outset of that question, that was our last question. I want to thank you for your time here today, and I want to thank you on behalf of your shareholders and investors for answering their questions. Thanks for your time today, Sean.
Thank you so much, Stuart. I appreciate your help.
All right. For Sean, folks, and this is Stuart Smith saying thanks so much for tuning in, and don't stop sending in those questions. Keep NGTF high up on your radar and watch lists.